This is Kevin X copyrighted content, written for small business owners who are doing it all. You don't need a title to lead, you just need a business. Leadership books are often written by CEOs with corner offices, massive support teams, and stock options. But this? This one's for the small business owner who's building something from scratch, keeping promises to customers, and showing up every day even when it's hard. The author Kevin Adams spent over 20 years growing small businesses. Some took off like a rocket, and some taught tough lessons. From launching a fly fishing membership startup to running a fractional sales and marketing firm for fintech companies, he's been in the trenches. So this isn't theory. This is what leadership looks like when payroll depends on you, when your team is lean, and when your name is on the lease. Small business owners don't have layers of management to hide behind. You are the culture. You are the momentum. And when you lead with clarity, confidence, and care, the results show up in every corner of your business, leading yourself first. When you own the business, there's no real separation between who you are and how you lead. Your team sees it, your customers feel it, you set the tone, whether you mean to or not. Most small business owners don't wake up thinking about leadership. They wake up thinking about invoices, product shipments, missed calls, and employee issues. But underneath all that noise is one critical truth. If you don't lead yourself with focus and intention, your business will just drift. Leading yourself isn't about journaling at sunrise or downloading a cool new productivity app. It's about being disciplined in your behavior, aware of your influence, and honest about what you're projecting. It's your habits, your tone, your calendar, and your stress, all showing up in the way your business runs. If you're inconsistent, your team will hesitate. If you're reactive, they'll walk on eggshells. If you're running on fumes, your business will eventually run out of gas. Let me tell you about Maria. She owns a 4-person catering company. The food was excellent and her client list was solid, but she was always behind. Late replies, missed details, constantly stepping in to fix things her staff should have handled. She thought that was just part of being the boss. It wasn't. After a rough week, she blocked off the first hour of each day and committed to 3 things. Set her priorities, prepare her team, and stay out of their way. That's it. By the end of the first week, her team was already making more decisions without her. By the end of the month, her clients noticed the difference. And by the end of the quarter, Maria wasn't just running the business, she was leading it. That shift didn't require a retreat or a rebrand. It just took a decision to stop reacting and start leading from the top. If your team feels scattered, take a look in the mirror. If your business feels stuck, look at how you start your day. If you want your people to level up, start by leveling yourself up first. Now, you might be wondering, how do I know if I'm leading myself well? A good way to check is your habits. Are you consistent, clear, and calm under pressure? Remember, your team reflects what you model. And what's one simple way to reset your focus? Try starting each morning with 20 minutes of planning before opening email. Control the day before it controls you. Some people also ask, is self-care really part of leadership? Yes, absolutely. Burned-out owners make poor decisions. If you don't take care of yourself, you simply can't take care of the business. Culture without a budget. Culture isn't about how your office looks. It's about how it feels to work there. It shows up in how people speak to each other, how problems get solved, and how decisions get made. Small businesses don't need fancy vision statements framed on a wall. They need habits that actually match what the owner says matters. In a small business, the owner is the culture. If the owner gossips, everyone gossips. If the owner avoids problems, the team follows suit. If the owner shows up prepared, respectful, and steady, that becomes the norm. You don't need a big team or a big budget to build a strong culture. You just need to act with intention. Most culture issues really come down to a lack of clarity. People don't know what's expected. They aren't sure what gets rewarded. And they're not sure how decisions are being made. That uncertainty kills motivation. People start protecting themselves instead of thinking like owners. Take Marcus, who runs a landscaping business with 7 full-time employees. Business was fine, but turnover was high. When someone quit, he'd hire quickly just to fill the spot. he assumed culture would just take care of itself. After his third good employee left in a single year, he finally asked his crew what was going wrong. The answers were blunt. No one felt appreciated. No one knew what was expected day to day. And no one trusted that raises or bonuses would ever actually come. Marcus started small. Every Friday, before anyone left, the team circled up. Each person had to recognize someone else on the crew for something they did right that week. That was it. No cash, no pizza, just public respect. After a month, people started showing up early. After 2 months, the joking and tension eased up. And get this, no one had quit since. You don't fix culture with perks. You fix it by leading how you want others to act, then reinforcing it every single week. The standard you walk past becomes the standard you accept. If someone shows up late and nothing is said, that becomes acceptable. If someone goes above and beyond and no one notices, that becomes invisible. And if you complain about your team when they're not around, they'll eventually stop trusting you when they are. Strong culture doesn't require extra money, but it does require a consistent example. You don't need slogans. You need someone to set the tone and someone to repeat it. You might be asking, how do I start fixing a broken culture? My advice is to start with consistency. Reinforce the values you want to see. Catch people doing things right and recognize it. Do you need to write down your values? Yes, you really should. Then talk about them every week. Use them when you're hiring, coaching, and giving corrections. And what if someone simply refuses to buy in? If someone actively fights your culture, they're fighting your business. Don't keep people who damage what you're building. Hiring like a leader, not a boss. Hiring is honestly the most expensive decision a small business owner makes, but not just in dollars, but in time, trust, and culture. One wrong hire can drain energy from the whole team. One right hire can change the entire trajectory of your business. The mistake most owners make is hiring in a hurry. A key person quits, a new contract comes in, or the workload spikes, and the instinct is to just plug the hole. That's when you overlook red flags. That's when you talk yourself into someone who looks good on paper but doesn't truly fit the way you work. Resumes don't tell you how someone handles pressure. They don't tell you if someone shows up on time, listens when corrected, or keeps their word. The best hires for small businesses have one thing in common. They care. You can train skills, but you can't train character. Hiring like a leader means slowing down at the start so you don't speed into a problem later. It means getting clear about what success looks like in the role, and even clearer about what kind of person will truly succeed in your environment. Lena owns a dog grooming studio. She hired a groomer with 10 years of experience who could handle high-end clients and complicated cuts. He had great skills, but a short fuse. He clashed with staff, made offhand remarks to clients, and questioned Lena's decisions in front of the team. She kept him around because he was fast and brought in money. Until one day, her best receptionist quit without notice, citing the toxic atmosphere. That was the wake-up call. Lena let the groomer go and replaced him with someone younger, slower, and far less experienced, but teachable, kind, and reliable. Within 3 months, client reviews were stronger, the team was happier, and Lena wasn't walking on eggshells in her own business. When you hire for alignment over convenience, the long-term payoff is always better. You get less drama. You get real loyalty. You get people who work with you, not just for you. If you're constantly rehiring for the same position, the problem isn't the people you're hiring, it's the process you're using. Stop filling seats and start building a team. Know what matters before you interview. Stick to your standards. Don't hire out of fear. And don't keep someone who undermines the very business you're trying to grow. You might be asking, what's the most important thing to look for in a hire? It's character. You can train for skill, but not attitude, integrity, or work ethic. How do you avoid hiring out of panic? Have a short-term backup plan before you're desperate. Panic hires create long-term problems. And what if you don't have time to train someone? Then you don't have time to grow. make time to train now or make time to clean up later. Communicating with clarity. Most problems in small business aren't strategy problems. They're communication problems. Someone thought something was handled. Someone assumed someone else was doing it. Someone didn't say what they really meant. When your team is small, every word carries more weight. A shrug gets interpreted. A vague instruction causes delays. Silence creates confusion. In that environment, clarity isn't optional, it's leadership. Clear communication saves time, reduces friction, and builds trust. But that only happens when you stop assuming people know what you mean. You have to say it directly, simply, without leaving room for interpretation. Ray owns a specialty bike shop. Every morning he'd leave notes for his employees with reminders, service tickets, and side tasks. Sometimes they followed them. Sometimes they didn't. Mistakes piled up. Customers were frustrated. Ray felt like no one listened. He decided to start holding a 15-minute huddle at 8:45 every morning. One list, one explanation, one round of questions. Everyone hears the same thing at the same time in the same place. Within 2 weeks, order returns dropped. Miscommunication stopped. Ray wasn't repeating himself all day, and his team stopped guessing what mattered. Clarity isn't about talking more. It's about saying less, better. Start with expectations. Be clear about what good looks like and what happens when it's not met. When someone misses a mark, tell them. When they hit it, tell them that too. Feedback isn't about being nice or harsh, it's about being useful. Small business owners often avoid hard conversations because they don't want to create drama. But avoiding a tough conversation almost always leads to more of it. Say the thing, early, direct, and calm. You're not being mean, you're being responsible. Your team should always know what they're doing, why it matters, and how it fits the big picture. They don't need motivational speeches. They need direction they can follow and space to ask questions. Good communication keeps your business from grinding to a halt. It sets the tone, it clears the path, and it reminds people that the owner is paying attention. So, how can you tell if your team is confused? Just ask them. If answers to simple questions vary across the team, your message isn't landing. Should you repeat yourself? Yes, absolutely, until your team repeats it back. Clarity requires repetition. And how do you give feedback without causing drama? Be direct, be kind, and focus on behavior, not personality. Then ask how they see it. Leading through change and challenge. Every small business owner eventually hits a wall. Revenue dips, a key employee quits, a supplier fails, a competitor moves in. Something breaks and suddenly you're leading through something you didn't plan for. This is where leadership earns its stripes. Not in the good months, but in the hard ones. Not when things are stable, but when the future is foggy and you're the only one with your hands on the wheel. The first instinct is often to keep quiet. Shield the team. Pretend everything's fine. But silence in a storm doesn't calm people, it rattles them. If you're not saying anything, they'll fill in the blanks with fear. The better move is simple. Step forward. Share what you know. Be honest about what's uncertain. And make clear what happens next. You're not required to have all the answers. You are required to stay present. Jared owns a neighborhood gym. A fire in the strip mall forced them to close for repairs. No revenue, no access to equipment. The easy thing would have been to hit pause and wait it out. Instead, Jared recorded a 60-second video every day on his phone. He told members what was going on, what they were trying, and what help was needed. Then he got creative. Trainers started running bodyweight classes in the park. Local businesses let them use space for indoor sessions. Members didn't cancel, they brought friends. By the time the gym reopened, the community had grown. Jared didn't lead with optimism. He led with clarity. That's what kept people with him. The point isn't to have a crisis plan in your back pocket. The point is to lead in a way that earns trust before the challenge hits. Because when it does, your people won't follow your plan, they'll follow your presence. Pressure exposes cracks, but it also reveals character. When you show up, stay calm, and keep moving forward, people notice. And when you don't, they notice that too. If you're in a tough stretch right now, remember this. Your team isn't looking for a savior. They're looking for a signal. Show them that the business isn't falling apart because the leader isn't. You might be asking, what do you say when you don't know the answer? Say exactly that. Then share what you're doing to figure it out. Honesty builds trust. How do you keep morale up in hard times? Communicate early, often and clearly, and definitely let people help solve the problem. How much should you share with the team? Enough so they're not guessing. Silence makes fear worse. Truth gives direction. Delegating without losing control. The fastest way to stall your business is to keep everything running through you. Approvals? Emails? Questions? Decisions? When you do it all, you become the bottleneck. And the longer you wait to fix it, the harder it is to let go. Most small business owners say they want help. What they really mean is they want someone to read their mind, do things their way, and never mess up. That's not delegation, that's control. And it doesn't scale. Delegation isn't about giving up control. It's about transferring responsibility with clarity and accountability. It's choosing what only you can do and giving the rest away, with clear expectations, deadlines, and room for mistakes. Tanya runs a boutique marketing agency. For years, she reviewed every client report before it went out. It had to be perfect. But that meant delays. It meant she was working late every week, and it meant her team was always waiting on her. She decided to delegate the entire reporting process. Not just the writing, but the review. She trained one account manager, gave them a checklist, and set a clear standard. Reports must be sent by 3 p.m. on Fridays with no typos, no missing data, and no surprises. The first few weeks were bumpy, but her team rose to the occasion. Clients noticed faster service. Tanya got her evenings back, and the reports? Just as good. Delegation that works has four pieces. You define the task, you pick the right person, you set the outcome. You follow up. Anything less is dumping, not delegating. If you're worried someone won't do it your way, they probably won't. But if you train them right, support them early, and stay out of their way, they may even find a better way. Letting go doesn't mean lowering the bar. It means building a business that can move without your constant push. If everything has to go through you, you haven't built a business. You've built a trap. Start with just one task this week. Something that's low risk, time-consuming, and not tied to your core role. Hand it off with clear direction and a check-in date. See what happens. Then do it again. You don't scale by adding hours, you scale by multiplying people. So, how do you know what to delegate? Start with what drains you and doesn't require your unique skills, and what if they mess it up? Expect that they will at first. Correct it, coach it, and let them grow into it. How do you follow up without hovering? Set a check-in date when you delegate. That way you inspect without micromanaging. Coaching and developing others. Most small business teams are built around getting things done. Orders shipped, customers served, invoices paid, that's the job. But if the owner is the only one growing, the business stalls. If the team stays the same year after year, you're not building a company, you're running a treadmill. Coaching doesn't mean long meetings or complicated programs. It means noticing potential and helping people take the next step. It's having real conversations, giving honest feedback, and making sure your team has a chance to improve. Not just perform. Coaching takes time. It's easier to just do it yourself, but that shortcut costs you in the long run. It traps you in the daily details and it sends a message to your team. Stay in your lane and don't expect more. Sam runs a small print shop. He had a technician named Jordan who was fast, steady, and great with customers. One day, a supplier made a mistake and Sam wasn't in the building. Jordan fixed the order, called the client, and smoothed everything over. Sam heard about it after the fact. He thanked Jordan but didn't think much more of it. A week later, Jordan asked if there were opportunities to do more. That's when Sam made the switch. He started coaching Jordan during their weekly check-ins. He walked him through vendor emails, explained pricing strategies, and asked for his take before making small decisions. 6 months later, Jordan was managing 2 part-time staff and running the shop 3 days a week without Sam. Not because he was given a title, but because he was given a chance. Coaching works when it's intentional. Pick one person. Give them a little more responsibility. Ask what they want to get better at. Give them a target. Support them when they mess it up. Praise them when they get it right. Repeat. People want to grow. They just don't always know how. It's your job to show them the path, not to push them down it. Not every team member wants more. But the ones who do, that's where your leverage lives. Build your bench now or you'll be stuck filling gaps later. So who should you invest in? The ones who show up, ask questions, and want more responsibility. What if no one wants to grow? You may not be asking clearly. Start the conversation and see who raises their hand. And how do you start coaching someone? Start with a weekly 15-minute chat. Ask what's working, what's not, and where they want to improve. Creating accountability that sticks. Most small business owners think accountability means checking someone's work or calling them out when something goes wrong, but real accountability starts long before anything breaks. It begins with clarity. If people don't know what's expected, they can't be held accountable. If expectations shift every week or vary depending on your mood, they'll stop trying to hit the mark. Instead, they'll aim to avoid trouble. That's not accountability, that's survival. Accountability that works is built on 2 things: clear standards and consistent follow-through. Not rules, not pressure, just clear expectations and the discipline to revisit them when needed. Deshaun owns a mobile car detailing service. His crew was solid, but lately there were too many missed spots. Customers weren't complaining directly, but the reviews were slipping. Deshaun felt stuck. He didn't want to micromanage, but he couldn't keep redoing sloppy work. He decided to try a system. Every detailer got a 1-page checklist to follow with each job. 10 items, no gray areas. Then, once a week, he pulled 2 random customer reviews and read them out loud at the morning meeting. If it was a good review, the crew member got a $20 bonus. If it was bad, they had to walk through what they'd do differently next time. Within a month, review scores were up and rework was down. The crew didn't just want to avoid mistakes, they wanted to hit the mark. Accountability sticks when it's part of the culture, not just a reaction. People know where they stand, they know what matters, and they know you're paying attention. It doesn't require penalties or pressure. It just takes a willingness to say, "This matters," and then follow through. If someone on your team keeps missing, don't assume they don't care. Ask if they understand what success looks like. Ask when you last gave real feedback. Ask yourself if the standard has been enforced consistently. Start there. Your best employees want accountability. They want to know the rules and they want to know that everyone's playing by them. When you hold the line, you make space for your best people to thrive and for the rest to rise to the occasion. So, how do you hold people accountable without being a jerk? Be clear, be fair, be consistent. People respect boundaries when they understand them. What if someone keeps missing the mark? Document expectations. Talk early. If nothing changes, they may not be the right fit. Is public accountability okay? Yes, if done with respect. Recognition in public, correction in private. Leading with vision and values. In a small business, people don't just follow the paycheck, they follow the purpose. When the work gets hard, the hours get long, or the future gets messy, your team needs something to believe in. That's your job as the owner. Paint the picture and plant the flag. Vision is where you're going. Values are how you'll get there. Both need to be clear, visible, and lived every day. Not just in hiring decisions or marketing copy, but in how you show up, how you speak, and how you make the hard calls. Without vision, people drift. Without values, they guess. When both are missing, a business runs on urgency instead of intention. And eventually, urgency burns everyone out. Anita runs a local bakery. She had a tight team, loyal customers, and steady orders. But she felt like things were stuck. Her team was doing the work, but no one was really pushing. She knew they were capable of more, but they didn't seem to care. One afternoon, she closed early, sat the team down, and asked one question. What would it look like if we were the most trusted bakery in the county? Not the biggest, not the fanciest, the most trusted. That became the vision. She wrote it on the back wall where every employee could see it. Then they built the values to match. Cleanliness without shortcuts. Consistency in every batch. Community involvement every month. Every new hire was trained with those three values. Every staff meeting tied back to them. Every bonus was tied to customer satisfaction. 6 months later, a local hospital offered them a contract to supply their patient meals. The reason? Reliability and reputation. Vision doesn't have to be dramatic. It has to be clear, and it has to be something people can act on. If you ask your team right now what the company stands for and where it's going, can they answer you? And if they can, does their behavior reflect it? Write the vision in a sentence. Pick three values that guide every decision, and then use those every week to hire, coach, reward, and correct. Not occasionally, always. You don't have to be a great speaker, you just have to be a consistent one. People want to work for something that matters. Your job is to make sure they know what that is. So how do you write a vision that matters? Keep it short, specific, and relevant to your team's daily work. Do you need company values? If you want your team to make good decisions when you're not around, then yes, you absolutely do. What if your team doesn't take the vision seriously? Then you haven't repeated it enough or lived it yourself. Start there. Measuring leadership success. Most small business owners track sales, profit, and customer feedback. They track marketing spend, inventory, and website clicks, but very few track their leadership. Leadership isn't about how busy you are or how many problems land on your desk. It's about results through people. And like anything else in business, if you don't measure it, you won't manage it. This doesn't mean building a complicated scorecard or sending out employee engagement surveys every quarter. It means asking yourself and your team a few simple questions and doing it often enough to catch problems before they grow. Carlos runs a small IT services firm. He thought things were going fine until one of his most reliable employees gave notice. During the exit interview, the employee said, "I didn't see a future here." That hit Carlos hard. Instead of reacting, he built a basic system. Every 90 days, each employee fills out a 3-question pulse check. Do you understand what's expected of you? Do you feel like your work is recognized? Do you feel like you're growing? It takes 5 minutes to fill out and 10 minutes to review. Carlos uses the answers to guide check-ins and shift responsibilities. The result: 0 turnover in the last year and a team that feels heard, even when things are busy. Measuring your leadership can be that simple. Ask your team how clear they are on the company's direction. Ask how often they get helpful feedback. Ask if they feel like their work matters. And when the answers slip, take action. Also, look at the data that's already there. How often are you coaching versus correcting? How many decisions still come through you that shouldn't? How often do you meet with your team one-on-one? When's the last time you asked them what they need? So, how do you measure your effectiveness as a leader without overcomplicating it? Ask yourself monthly, is my team clear on priorities? Are we getting better? Are people staying and stepping up? If the answer is no to any of those, start digging. Do you need to ask for feedback from your team? Yes, you do. You don't have to make it formal. Just ask, what's one thing I could do better as a leader? Then shut up and listen. What if you're not a natural leader? Most small business owners aren't, but leadership isn't about personality, it's about habits. Get clear, follow through, keep improving, that's enough. My 2 cents worth. Leadership isn't just about showing up. It's about creating clarity, consistency, and improvement over time. If your team is confused, anxious, or disengaged, that's a leadership signal, not a staffing issue. Track your own habits, too. Are you modeling the standards you expect? Are you investing in your own growth? Are you walking in focused or frazzled? The best leaders are learners. They review their own performance with the same honesty they expect from others, and they keep adjusting. You don't need to be perfect. You need to be aware. That's how leadership actually improves, and that's how your business gets stronger from the top down. Summary: leadership in small business isn't about titles or theory. It's about how you show up, how you make decisions, and how people respond to you when things get hard. If you've heard this far, you already understand something most owners never fully grasp. You are the business. The way you act, speak, plan, and follow through defines how the business runs. You don't need to be charismatic, you don't need to have all the answers, but you do need to be consistent. You need to model what you expect, you need to be steady when things shake. We've talked about how leading yourself sets the foundation, how culture is built in everyday actions, how the wrong hire can set you back, and the right one can change everything. You've seen how delegation frees you, how coaching creates growth, how clarity beats confusion every time. Leadership isn't something you do once a quarter. It's every day, in every conversation, in every decision, especially the small ones. If you want a stronger team, lead better. If you want better results, lead clearer. If you want to stop putting out fires, lead before things burn. Leadership is the quiet engine behind every great small business. When you get it right, everything else gets easier. You don't need to be perfect, but you do need to keep showing up with purpose. That's what your business needs. That's what your team needs. That's what works. So keep leading your way. Keep learning, adjusting, and showing up with intention. The impact you make, the lives you change, and the business you build, these are all reflections of your leadership. Keep leading and keep selling. Thanks for listening. If even one idea here helped you slow things down and see the business more clearly, it was worth it. You don't need more pressure. You need tools that cut through the noise and help you lead with confidence. That's what KevinX is built to deliver. Keep going. You're doing the hard part. You're showing up. This material is for licensees only and may not be shared, copied, or distributed without written permission.